Hello and welcome to the Mixed Media Podcast for Wednesday, July 29th. I'm Christopher Wynn, Deputy Editor for FD, the style magazine of the Dallas Morning News. Who I am not is Chris Wagner, the voice you normally hear hosting the show. Chris is sadly out sick today with a 102-degree fever. Chris, we're thinking about you, man. But I am joined in the studio by our still able-bodied co-host, Lauren Smart, arts and culture editor for the Dallas Observer. Hello, Lauren.
I feel really bad for Chris, but I am happy that I don't have what he has. Yeah. And I'm glad he's not here to give it to us.
I'm a little paranoid because, of course, you were out sick a couple of weeks ago. Now Chris is out.
You're next.
Yeah, it's like 10 little Indians. Am I the next to go?
I hope not.
Oh, Brian, our producer, is shaking his head yes. So he's clearly it's happening. Get ready. On today's show, Dallas Morning News pop music critic Hunter Hawk and news staff writer Brandon Formby are here to help us overanalyze, well, everything. First up, and it's already been wheels off. We haven't even started, and it's already been wheels off in the studio, so anything is possible today, so get ready.
You don't want to know what we were talking about.
Seriously, it's not for a family newspaper. First up, the fifth edition of the homegrown indie music festival Gorilla vs. Bear is this Friday. We'll talk about why this may be the smartest indie music showcase being produced today. Next, Podcast Movement, the world's largest podcaster conference, hits Fort Worth this weekend. We'll get a preview with its co-founder and talk about the state of podcasting today. Hunter Hawk will also tell us about his new, quote, music-minded podcast called Listening. Hi, this is Listening
with
Hunter
Hawk. That's a great name for a podcast.
Yeah,
I
love
that. It took us a really long time to come up with the name for this one.
Oh, God, that was a nightmare.
And so we'll have to ask Hunter how long it took him to come up with his.
Yeah, happy to inform.
Yeah, I'll be curious. And so simple, I love it. Finally, are introverts the new extroverts? A story in the New York Times this week declares being introverted is cool and apparently big business. We will break it all down. But first, some late-breaking news. If you missed it last week, Mixed Media is finally on iTunes.
Yay!
God, it took us forever to get on there. Is your thing on iTunes yet?
I don't think so. I think I have to prove myself a little bit.
Yeah. I have to admit to you, though, I still don't, I'll listen back to some of the episodes. I still don't listen to it on iTunes.
Oh, really?
I still go to the page to the and online. Click on, yeah.
It's more fun on the page. You get the pictures and all the good stuff. So you can find us on iTunes, just search for Mixed Media Culture Podcasts, and you can subscribe to the show and it'll download automatically each week. So definitely do that. In more personal news, Lauren, I have something new in common with you, a new puppy.
Woohoo! Wait, how did you find your puppy?
We went to the shelter.
Oh, like a good American citizen.
Yes, and plucked her out of the cage.
What kind of dog is it?
So it is it's the least attractive breed name possible. And I'm embarrassed to admit it, that kind of bothered me. She is a rat terrier.
I had one of those growing up.
Are they good dogs?
Yeah, our dog got really fat. Oh. But he was a great dog. And just take care of, let me get exercise. But it's totally a sweet dog, a calm until there's food around.
Well,
like a normal dog.
Was this a planned thing or was it just kind of like a accident?
You know, Brandon, it's like, you know, if you walk into a liquor store, are you planning to go home with something? Are you, you know, if you
always,
you know, yeah, we were at the shelter. So there was in the back of our mind, we were open to getting a dog. But the problem is we adopted her. She spayed and she was on this once a day pain pill. And that pain pill ran out yesterday. And suddenly it was like meeting this dog for the first time because her true personality came out.
In good ways?
She's a little crazy. She went from cute lifestyle accessory to actual real puppy.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Piper.
Aww.
So Piper's eating your shoes is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, she's a little hyper.
Yeah, yeah. They're crazy. But my little puppy, I feel like I finally potty trained her. So, which is like a huge step for us because now my house smells okay.
Yeah. Tell us the breed of your puppy because you mentioned it last time and we didn't probe.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It wasn't living on the streets in my mom's neighborhood for a while. Oh. And one of her neighbors picked it up and I put up a flyer trying to find its owners and the owners, you know, I reached out to her and I was like, because it looked a lot like, I don't know, you just know. You see the face, you just know.
Right.
So I don't know, I had sent the woman an email and I said, I want to meet it. I'm looking for a puppy, I want to meet it. And I figured I might not fall in love with it even if I'm, but then it was just, it was love at first sight. She's like a little, she's probably mostly black lab.
I've seen the pictures on Instagram, and we will both post puppy pictures on our show page, and you can check it out. What's your dog's name?
Lilo.
Oh.
And you should have the two dogs meet each other to see which what psychological issues pop up.
God.
Well, this I said we should, you know, do a remote podcast recording in the dog park one day.
Yeah, right. We should. We could have drinks and hang out. Brian, will you come to the dog park with us? Our producer's shaking his head.
Try to make it this
happen.
Oh, come on.
We'd have to lug a lot of equipment.
Take all of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, we need a mobile setup. So one last thing before we dive into our segments. Brandon Formby is in our studio for a reason today. He sent an urgent email last night to me and a few other colleagues asking for help. The challenge, how to explain the phrase D's nuts in a story for today's paper for our conservative older readership. This led to some humorous exchanges, and I invited him on today to explain what the hell is going on and how Snoop Dogg and Central Expressway are involved. Brandon, what is the deal?
Well, the deal with D's nuts is at some point overnight on Monday, you know those electronic road signs that are, you know, kind of off to the side of the highway that say exit now or, you know, no right turn.
Unfortunately.
Apparently somebody changed one of the signs on Central Expressway, you know, sometime after midnight Monday to say D's nuts. That's
can you spell that?
D-E-E-Z-N-U-T-Z. It's not with a S. It's nuts with a Z.
That's how you spell it, though, isn't it?
I've seen it spelled both ways. Okay. I don't think that we as a society have come down on one side or another. On
Webster's hasn't weighed in yet?
No, not yet. So I actually learned a lot about D's nuts yesterday that I never knew before.
Such as?
Well, first of all, you know, that was something we said in, like, you know, high school. It was kind of like a popular little catchphrase, you know, joke that you'd play on your friends. And I haven't heard it in years. And I thought it, I don't know, had died out. And I, you know, it was kind of old and stale.
Wait, can you guys do the joke? Like, when it can...
Yeah,
can you, sure. Hunter, you guys do the joke, because I don't know how it goes.
Well, when I got Brandon's email yesterday, I immediately responded back to only him, of course.
Of course.
This is like, there were about five or six other people. But I was like, well, you should ask Philip about it. Philip on these...
nuts.
Because that's what we used to say in middle school. Like, Philip on these nuts, you know, whatever. It was just a stupid... Nice. It's so funny, like, but it's the stupidest form of humor that you could even have, I think. But
And the funny part...
But it's made a resurgence. I found out there's some, you know, Vine star out there who completely brought it back a few months ago. And it's
a Vine star.
Yeah.
I love that.
Alleged
they're good
Vine
for that.
Star,
yeah.
Or Vine alleged star.
Micro
so
fan.
Apparently it's become a thing again. And I guess somebody took it to the next level over on Central Expressway the other night. People were stopping to take pictures. TxDOT is none too pleased.
It's a big hit on Instagram, yeah.
Well, so you didn't find out. They don't know yet how he did it, right?
They don't know for sure how it happened. But apparently the contractor left the of the sign unlocked. So it wasn't like a remote
so that's
hacking
a, that's a
situation.
Clue.
Yeah.
That might be a clue.
And there's like a little keyboard inside, right? That you type
I've never
message.
Seen inside, but, you know,
that's
it was unlocked and somebody typed something, so.
Yeah. I kind of hope he strikes again. Like, the tollway will have one tonight.
It's almost Banksy-esque in a way,
yeah.
But
totally.
I mean, a lower brow form, but
lower brow Banksy.
See which messages pop up.
Well, it happened in Austin several years ago, you know, warning people of a zombie attack.
Oh, that's right.
So this isn't the first time TxDOT has been hit.
Well, your big challenge last night was how do you explain what this is in a paragraph?
Right, so...
And I wonder if you could talk about that, and then I have the actual paragraph that ran in today's paper.
I'll
have you read.
I didn't even think that we would be able to get it in the paper. And so, you know, I was just like, hey, I can kind of write around it and be like, you know, it's, you know, just describe it as, you know, this, you know, colorful phrase for male anatomy.
Male anatomy.
The editors came back and they're like, well, no, you can't write about the sign without saying, you know, what it actually says. But you can't, I think the words of my editor was, you can't just leave it hanging out there either. If
no.
you say
no.
That.
No.
Oh.
You've got to explain to people what these nuts are, because there are a lot of
that's some low-hanging fruit
readers that may not be familiar with these nuts. So you have to help them understand what these nuts are.
And truly, think of the readership of the print product of the Dallas Morning News, and it's definitely
So that was actually the hardest. But I think I spent more time on that one paragraph trying to figure out how to explain how these nuts work. Than the whole rest of the story.
And I was going to say, to be such a stupid joke, for it makes Brandon have to figure out how to explain it. It also helps people figure out ways to tell jokes. So it's it contributes to the language in a way, even though it's such a...
It's a reader service.
Right.
I like your deconstruction of it, Hunter. It's a service to humanity. Yeah,
we like to help people live better here.
So, Brandon, can you now read your official assessment of...
So here's what we finally landed on. The phrase was popularized in the 1990s by rapper Snoop Dogg on an album by artist Dr. Dre, according to knowyourmeme.com. It is typically the punchline of a joke in which someone prompts a friend to unwittingly say some slang variation of the word these. The prankster then says, "these nuts," the joke being that the victim unknowingly set up a reference to male anatomy.
Oh, nice. Very respectable.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, very polite. All right, well, with no more nuts around, we're going to move right into our first segment, so here we go. That is British music producer and DJ Jamie XX, who will headline this Friday night's Gorilla vs. Bear Festival at the Granada Theater. So when Plano resident Chris Cantalini founded the blog Gorilla vs. Bear in 2005, he had no ambition to be one of the most influential voices in indie music, but a decade later, the website, which he created as a personal archive of tunes to share with friends, has become a benchmark for up-and-coming musicians and a brand that extends far beyond the web and into radio and concert production. Each summer, Cantalini puts a handful of bands on display with the annual Gorilla vs. Bear Fest. Hunter, Lauren, I'm curious, have you been to previous festivals, and what do you make of the blog?
I'm embarrassed to say that I have not been to any of them.
Oh, Hunter. Oh,
just for whatever reason or another, I haven't. But I'm familiar with Gorilla vs. Bear, and I've always admired his tastes. I think his aesthetic is very cool in that it's a very chill kind of musical vibe, but it encompasses a lot of different styles. He doesn't restrict himself in that way, and I think his tastes come from a personal place, and that's, I think, what makes them so appealing to people and so sort of authentic.
Yeah, but you know, so I have been before, and I've always been really disappointed because they do a version of it here, and they do a version of it in Austin, and that in my memory, it's never sold out here before. Until this
really?
Year. Yeah, last year there, I mean, the Granada was a quarter full. It was really, really...
Oh, wow.
I mean, you can feel that the energy just is lacking at a concert like that. And it surprises me because it's usually bands who have incredibly huge prominence in Brooklyn, in Austin, in, you know, the Northwest. I mean, they're bands that people who care about music really know about. And I've always gotten the impression that maybe Dallas is a few years behind in music.
Way to be, Dallas.
And it's funny. It's
not my fault. I've only been here for 6 months.
Yeah. But all that to say, like, it's funny that that blog is based here because it really has earned, I think, in a way, in a roundabout way, a reputation for Dallas as something, a place that has musical taste.
Yeah, and the places where the whole music world converges, I think, in Austin, every time he has an event there, it's huge. I've been to some during South by Southwest, and they're always the most popular day parties because he has such clout with these artists at this point. He presents them in such a cool way. He does Polaroids, and so that kind of lends itself to the visuals for his website.
That's what I wanted to talk about. Yeah. The website is very, from kind of a style magazine background, I love the look and the aesthetics of the website, that he does often use sort of Polaroids and kind of before that became a big thing now that everybody's filtering and using Hipstamatic or Instagram.
That's
whatever.
True.
Yeah, I think he's captured like the aesthetic of a generation, and maybe he was leading the aesthetic of the music of the generation at least. And I think, again, it's always disappointing to me when you, until this year, but this year will be very different because Jamie XX, I think, is the headliner,
right?
encouraged a bunch of people to buy tickets.
I was going to ask, is that the thing that tipped it this year that made it a sellout, you think?
Hunter, you would have a better feel for that than I would. Do you think it's maybe the album that he released this summer that's sort of...
I think the timing is very good, and there is an actual sort of headliner as part of this event, when in the past it's been sort of curation of the bands that he was liking at the time, or you know, there one didn't really stand out above the other as much. But I'm actually surprised to hear that the Granada hasn't been full at the past ones, because the reviews I've heard and the people who have gone have always told me it's a great experience.
It's always been awesome. It's just not full. I mean, you know, in the way that I went, you know, if you go to see War on Drugs there or TV on the Radio, you can barely
move. It's teeming
with
people, yeah.
And I think he usually is booking the kinds of bands for these festivals that would sell out a crowd in a more hip to music city.
Yeah.
But again, this year is different because Jamie XX will be there, and his album is so amazing.
Are you guys big fans?
Yeah.
I remember you and Wagner were hinting at this last week.
So the album, I have to admit that I wasn't a huge Jamie XX fan before this album this summer, but I listen to it nonstop right now.
I've enjoyed it so far, and I got the original recommendation from you guys several weeks ago when I was on the podcast.
Yeah.
And so I've been listening, especially to Loud Places.
Yeah, so
much. Mm-hmm. It's like a whole microcosm all in its own song. It's like a disco song inside of, like, you're outside of the disco listening to the disco song. You know what I mean? So I like
that.
That's
so profound. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't ever go full blast, but you can feel the beat, you can feel the vibes, and it's really cool.
And I think that Jamie XX, other people outside of the blog followers would know, but for someone like me who would follow the blog, and that's where I found Yumi Zuma, who's also going to be there on Friday night, it's really fun. I mean, I never thought I would get a chance to see her in Dallas.
Right.
Because she's Australian, and she doesn't perform in the U.S. very often, and I've been following her, I guess, for about, you know, whenever Gorilla versus Bear introduced me to her about a year ago, and I've just been hoping she would at least come through Austin so I could drive down to see her. And her music is very poppy, very beachy, just easy it's easy and it's fun and a little bit dancey, and that's, I think, what's fun about this festival for people,
right? And the fact that it's thoughtfully put together in a way that all the acts are going to sound good against each other, following each
other.
Dare
we say curated?
Right. Because so many festivals now during the summer are just like, let's get these different ones from every genre that seem to do every festival, because that's easy to get them and they're on that schedule already. So no matter what state you go to, you're going to get the same festival lineup. So it's really nice when somebody can have a singular view of the bill and have their kind of taste injected into that.
Yeah, so. And introduce, I mean, people who come for Jamie XX on Friday will be introduced to Lower Dens, Yumi Zuma, why can't I think of what the other act is? But they'll be introduced.
Tishay, I think.
Yeah, Tishay. They'll be introduced to all of the bands that he really likes. And so he's always teaching in a way,
right,
which sounds nerdy and not cool, but.
And I've always been envious of him in that he could teach in a way that he didn't have to write a ton of copy on each act. He just shares it, and it's so powerful that everyone just catches on, and he does these great mixes, and he's just a very much of a tastemaker as opposed to someone who has to explain his tastes, which is, it makes me envious, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Well, on that envious note, Gorilla versus Bear 5 takes place this Friday night at the Granada Theater. Unfortunately, as you heard, the tickets are sold out. But Hunter, I suspect there are ways that True Music fans could still get in.
Right.
Ways that we won't talk about on air.
Can I admit?
Back alleys.
No, can I admit on air? I've second acted at the Granada.
Oh,
I apologize,
yes.
Granada Theater.
Oh boy,
something will be sold out, and you sneak. You know, you wear long sleeves, you sneak in. I don't know. It can be done. I'm not encouraging it, but it can be done.
Yeah, just you get the inside scoop here on Mixed Media.
I think there are side doors at the Granada. I'm
That's
not
right.
sure. I'm just throwing that out
just
there.
Just an idea.
Yeah, just saying. If nothing else, you can follow along on social media and see a recap on the blog. So the blog itself is gorillaversusbear.net. Check it out.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Why are we playing a little circa 1989 Janet Jackson? You'll find out shortly when we introduce Hunter Hawk's new music podcast. But as you can tell by the recent explosion of shows, including his, podcasting is back big time. This weekend, Podcast Movement, the world's largest podcaster conference, descends upon Fort Worth with some big names, including WTF's Mark Maron and Serial creator Sarah Koenig. Here to talk shop with us is Texan and conference co-founder Dan Franks. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. What's going on?
We're excited to have you, and you're, I guess, gearing up for an epic weekend, it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, I got to tell you, that music was a little loud in my ear, but it's definitely an exciting big weekend for me and the team here, and about 1,100 other podcasters coming in from around the world. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Dan, that's how we rock the music here, by the way.
I'm not against the music at all. I was dancing in my U-Haul here.
So this is the second year, if I'm correct, for the conference. Is that right?
That's right. We had our first conference last year. It was in middle of August, and it was at the West End Galleria, here in Dallas. And then we're keeping it in the DFW Metroplex at least one more year, and yeah, this weekend in Fort Worth.
And you're billing yourself as the world's largest. How do you get so big so quickly, and how did you get such big name guests like Mark Maron and Sarah Koenig?
Well, kind of a two-part question there. The first part, how did we get so big so fast? And really, it's just a commentary, one, on the lack of anything like it existing before, and then two, just the kind of growth of podcasting that's happening right now, this little boom or resurgence, or, you know, at the very least, more people coming in, you know, coming to know about it. So those two things combined caused it to just grow astronomically fast, a lot faster than we thought it would, really. And then the second part to that, how do we get bigger name speakers like that, and again, in just a second year conference? And it's a little bit of a number of things. You know, any event organizer knows that some speakers you pay for, some speakers you get just, you know, on concept alone. And we've got over 80 speakers this weekend, and it's a combination of both. You know, there's people who make their living doing talks like this in addition to their podcast, and really the podcast, you know, someone like Mark Maron, he's a stand-up comedian and gets paid per appearance. So somebody like that, you know, we pay to come in and be a part of it. But, you know, I'd like to think that with both him and Sarah Koenig and all the other speakers, you know, paid or not paid, they see the benefit of giving back to the podcast community almost. There was nothing like this before, and this really is, like you mentioned, it's the largest conference for podcasters. And like I said, 1,100 podcasters from all over the world, literally all over the world, every continent. But Antarctica is going to be represented this weekend, either by attendees or speakers. So, you know, just concept alone, a lot of these people who are speaking either are donating their time or donating a good portion of their time, you know, and taking a really, really reduced rate because they see the benefit to the community as a whole.
Dan, I'm curious. It's my perception that Serial, Sarah Koenig's podcast, has really been a boon for the podcasting industry. And if my timing is right, that would have come out after your conference last year. Have you seen a spike in interest because of that, or anything that, or just her appearance at your podcast conference? Has that helped with ticket sales?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. Like you said, Serial did come out after our event last year, so because of that, last year it was kind of standalone from the Serial effect. What I really think the Serial effect has done is brought more notoriety from the consumer standpoint, so the people who are listening to podcasts, or for instance, you know, my parents or even my grandparents might not have known what a podcast was before, but when you start seeing Serial covered on SNL or Sarah interviewed on some of these mainstream television shows and covered in publications, that's the kind of thing that'll bring more notoriety from the listener standpoint. But since we're more geared towards the people creating the content, I'm not sure how much Serial did for the content creators in terms of bringing more of them into the space. Now, it certainly couldn't have hurt because some of those consumers will inevitably want to try it themselves. So from that standpoint, it probably brought a little, but I'm not sure how much it's actually contributed to the growth of the conference. But it does. It, you know, that's the kind of speaker that when you land, it's like it's one of those home run speakers that, you know, you put on the wish list and you don't expect to actually be able to have them as part of the lineup. And then when you do, it just brings more notoriety and gives you a little bit more credibility from the conference, you know, the conference organizer standpoint.
And then didn't Mark Maron is there because Glenn Beck dropped out? Is that right?
Yeah, so interesting thing, Glenn Beck, he's local here to Dallas, and he's, you know, running this Blaze television network. And Glenn Beck is somebody who, you know, he's a very polarizing figure, but he's somebody who's been there and done that. And he's somebody who we thought, you know, being local and quite honestly being somebody that was very affordable because of him being local, and we'll leave it at that. He was somebody that we thought, if nothing else, he can give a perspective on this whole growth of new media that really very few, if anyone else, can because of what he's accomplished and what he's currently doing with the Blaze. So we thought he was going to be a great addition, and, you know, a little controversy never hurts anything, and it didn't hurt us. But ultimately, he did have some health issues, and he took a month-long break from his television show, his radio show. Basically, his doctor said, you can't talk for a month. And our conference was right at the tail end of that month. There's probably a couple more weeks on his little speaking embargo or whatever you would call it. But, you know, we found that out 3 weeks ago, so 3 weeks before the conference. He was obviously one of our bigger name speakers, and we had to go into a little bit of a panic mode, but a little bit of, you know, this is what you know, separates the men from the boys, I guess, for a lack of a better term. And so we went on the hunt, and we said, well, if we had to pick anybody in the whole podcasting landscape that we would have, you know, if we were starting fresh, we already have Sarah from Serial, so then who else would it be? And obviously Mark Maron, it doesn't get any bigger than him. He just was a week or two off of interviewing the president. So
yeah, the timing was pretty nice on that.
Yeah, so we made a connection. We had built a relationship with some of his representatives out in Hollywood, just, you know, kind of laying the foundation for possibly working together in the future. We just had to pull the trigger a little earlier than we expected.
Dan, I'm curious, what are some of the hot trends in podcasting? Like, what are you seeing? What's going to sort of come to light this weekend?
Yeah, well, some of the trends are figuring out how to make money with it, right? That's, as industry people, that's one of those hurdles that a lot of us don't ever figure out how to overcome, but it's always kind of in the back of our mind. You know, a lot, I'd say 90% of people podcasting, maybe more, are doing it purely because they love it. And if there's some small revenue being generated from sponsors or, you know, from some kind of product they're selling or whatever it is, most of us are doing it. And I say us because I'm a hobbyist podcaster as well. Most of us are doing it because we enjoy doing it, but we always kind of have that thought, well, it would be nice to either do this and make a little bit of money, cover our internal costs, or, hey, why not? Maybe we do get big enough where we can do this and generate enough revenue to do this full time. So I think that's the big thing, and that's probably nothing new in terms of what a lot of people would be coming from last year and this year. It's, you know, how to make money. What are our options out there? And we're going to have people talking about that. But at the same time, you know, a lot of people, they want to sound better, and there's going to be technical sessions, and there's going to be sessions about growing your audience, and there's going to be some of the best storytelling podcasters in the world there. So crafting that story and how to make compelling content. So, you know, really what we're providing and what's going to be on stage and the 80-plus speakers is really running the gamut of everything podcasting.
All right. It's going to be a good conference. I'll be attending, actually, so I'm curious to see everything.
Yeah, take some notes.
Yeah, I'll take good notes for our crew here. And by the way, we're all paid huge salaries to do this podcast, so
I don't know. Well, good. So you guys are living the dream. You guys are living the dream, and we'll take notes from you, maybe.
Yeah. Dan, tickets are still available, right?
Yeah, you can go to podcastmovement.com and check it out. We also have a virtual ticket for anyone that's not able to make it, and what that is all the 80 speakers are being recorded and going to be on-demand video for the next, you know, year or two to be able to access them and watch them. And then, you know, of course, we'll have a Podcast Movement 2016 coming down the line as well. So podcastmovement.com will have all the information on this year, next year, and the future.
All right. Well, we'll definitely check it out. So, Dan, we're going to let you go, and then we're going to move on to a different segment. But we'll say goodbye to you for now, and I understand you're on the side of the road, so we'll let you get back in the car and get back to driving.
Very good. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks. All right. That's interesting, and it's interesting, too, how podcasting, including our own, has exploded in Dallas recently. We have, how many shows do we have now, Brian? Like four total that he's juggling. Sports podcast, ours, Hunter, yours, that we're about to talk about. You know, Front Burner has launched their Ear Burner podcast.
We always talk about it in my office. Uh-huh. We don't have anyone like Brian who can make it happen, though.
Right, the Observer. You just kind of, hey.
Yeah, yeah.
You did the next best thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the latest one, as we teased, is our own Hunter Hawk. And we already said that we love the title of it, but tell us about your new music podcast.
Well, I am coming from a place of really not, you can tell that I'm not a great off-the-cuff speaker, right? I mean,
not
true. I think you're fantastic, Hunter.
Well,
I could tell.
I guess I'm not confident.
Just throw in some D's nuts as needed. Yeah.
At the same time, though, my entire life I've sat in front of tape recorders and, you know, played around with stuff and tried to make shows of my own. So this comes from a place of passion, I think, for music and for podcasting. I've always liked to listen to shows like TED Talks Radio, I think it's called, mm-hmm. Radio Lab. Of course, Ira Glass is the god of
right.
podcasting with This American Life, and then its spinoff. But to me, all of those have in common hearing someone's voice for an extended period of time. And while I love discussion podcasts, I like this one, are very entertaining. I also like to hear someone sort of go on and on about something they're passionate about. So mm-hmm. I thought, what better way to do that than to do a music podcast? Because people can recommend music, they can talk about music in relation to their own life. And there are so many great voices around this area, both musicians and writers and radio people, all kinds of people that I can kind of reach out to. So it's just me setting up little segments, you know.
Just hanging out, just like you.
Me being my own little version of Ira Glass, I guess. A lot more awkward and a lot less smooth, but it's fun. And I think the first show gives you a good idea of what's to come. We have one of our writers at the Dallas Morning News reading her concert review and her own voice and kind of incorporating clips from the music she's talking about.
Is that Don Burks?
Don Burks. Yeah, wonderful person mm-hmm. and witty, and that really comes through in the way she reads her review, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think that music is the best, of all the podcasts, probably is going to be the best discussion topic because, you know, when we talk about art or theater even, we have to describe it and describe it and describe, and you can,
right.
you know, you can actually finally have it right there to listen to, which is what you kind of want in your, when you write a review, I bet you're like, oh, I wish you, yeah. if you would just listen to this song, you would know.
Uh-huh. And that's kind of what I was talking about with Gorilla versus Bear and with yeah. terrestrial radio. They have this power that up until now we haven't really had because we're just words on the page. And so it's exciting to be able to branch out into something like this where you can actually give examples and sort of let the music vibe with your voice and all that stuff. So I think it's working for me. I just hope it works. I hope it works for the listeners.
Is this working for you, baby?
Yeah, it's working for me.
Are we going to get real meta and listen to some of it right now?
Yeah, do we have it? Can we cue up a sound clip? All right, so Brian Ellidge, our producer, is queuing up a clip. And Brian also produces your show, right? Or works.
Yes, he does.
Is the engineer, I should say. Yeah. When my mind is feeling for you, baby. Gotta call you up and let you know it's what I'm feeling, baby.
0-0-24. LSG brought out the best in Sweat's Fair vocals. No choice, really, when you're literally in the middle of two of the genre's biggest voices. But it's not really about that, is it? This was the R&B Music Fest. Didn't you see that sign on the way in? That denotes and connotes a celebration of the genre. Even in between sets, music from the 1990s had the audience buzzing and singing along. One can blame the openers.
Here. So that was Don Burks that we mentioned
right.
earlier.
Yeah,
and what a good reminder that the words you're using to write about music can have their own musicality, too.
Right, she surprised me, and when she was recording, when she would mention a song, she would kind of sing it. And I would never do that, but mm-hmm. I mean, it works so great for her. I'm kind of more of I just want to talk about how music affected me, sort of growing up.
Yeah, share story, anecdotal.
And so
yeah.
we have segments like that. I do sort of a spoken word essay at the end,
which is my favorite segment. Can we talk about the Janet Jackson segment?
Yes, it was pretty much the easiest thing I've written in months.
I bet.
Because, you know, I kind of imagined myself telling someone about how I was obsessed with Janet Jackson growing up and how it all started with one album and one sort of moment in time.
Took me back to that moment of sitting in my friend's mother's white LeBaron convertible and popping in the cassette tape for Control. And it was just like, oh my God.
And that also kind of drove the theme of the episode, which, oh yeah, the episodes have themes, so yeah.
Hello.
Eyes too much.
You said Ira Glass. I would expect nothing less.
But the theme was rediscovery. So Janet Jackson, as you know, is coming out with a new album. She's got a tour coming to Dallas, and she has a new song. And so often these songs from like people like Madonna, people trying to come back, are just sort of desperate and thirsty.
That is the key word, yes.
But this one isn't, and it was a breath of fresh air, and it sort of made me rediscover Janet Jackson as an obsession. So I think that's where I went writing that.
You kind of gave me a flashback to Janet Jackson Super Bowl Gate, nipple incident.
Yeah, how can you not mention that? But
I love that because I'm not a sports fan, as I've said in the podcast before, and I hosted like my first Super Bowl party when that happened that year. And we were hanging.
One.
I know. We were hanging out. We were watching it. And then, you know, the halftime show, the moment I've actually been waiting for, the doorbell rings. A friend of mine comes late. I go to the door to let him in. And I hear all of these shrieks from the back of the house. Oh, my God. You know, did she just? And I was like, what? And I ran back and missed the entire thing. I still didn't have TiVo at that time, so I couldn't just like hit rewind. And I just couldn't believe that the biggest moment in sports music history, and I missed it because I'm answering the front door.
Strangely enough, I don't think the actual nipple like registered with me when I was watching it. I think it was so quick that I didn't even notice it, but Babe Laufenberg did, and I think he came back. I think he was the first segment after that, and so he was like stumbling over his words trying to describe what had just happened.
Right.
So, yeah, but I think the puritanical nature of our country was just really hard on her at that time, and look at what's happening now,
it's
and
hard to be
just
Janet.
Seems minor, you know.
Well, finally, we mentioned the title. Can you tell us how you came about the title Listening? Listening with Hunter Hawk.
It was weeks and weeks of brainstorming, coming up with every...
Good.
That makes us
that makes
feel
me
better.
Feel a lot better.
Every kind of title you could imagine, long ones, short ones, I mean, and none of them seemed to work, or they were taken, because there's,
like you said,
so many podcasts about so many different topics that incorporate those kinds of names. But I've had a Spotify playlist up called Listening for a few months now. And I had a column called Listening years back about local music. So I just think that sort of fits with what I do. I want people to first listen to the music that we're talking about, form their own opinions, and really just listen to our podcast. So listening just works on all levels, I think.
I love the simplicity of it.
Yeah.
Well, the show is Listening by Hunter Hawk. You can download it at guidelive.com/podcast. It kind of lives with our shows. Podcast movement, as you heard, you can get the tickets still this weekend. They're around $300 or so, so prepare yourself for that. Serial Sarah Koenig, you can also catch at the Winspear Opera House on Monday. She's going to be speaking there Monday night as part of their Think Speak series. So lots of good listening. Let's go out with a little Janet Jackson.
Wasn't shy, I'd burn all the uniforms, I'd burn all the...
A story in Saturday's New York Times style section made the following seemingly incongruent observation. Introverts are now cool. According to the piece by Laura Holson, there is a quiet revolution afoot, including a literal new organization by that name. Catering to introverts has become a bona fide publishing trend and big business on the speaking circuit. What does it all mean? How does being an introvert work in a very extroverted city like Dallas? And how do all of us in the studio rank ourselves on the intro-extro spectrum? Let's find out. So Lauren, let me start with you.
You want me to tell you if I'm an introvert or an extrovert?
I do. What would we guess, actually? What would y'all say?
Extrovert.
Ambivert.
Oh, is that a new
I'm well read on this issue.
Is that for both?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like having, you're going to be right-handed, left-handed, introvert. I don't know. I mean, I think
I would say extra totally.
I think
too.
That, like, in the simplest definition of what one is versus the other, and if you like talk to psychologists, they reduce it down to like, do you get energy from being around people, or do you get energy from being by yourself? And I definitely get energy from being around other people. That being said, I think people think that if you're an extrovert, you want to spend all of your time with other people, and that is exhausting to mm-hmm. me. So I think I'm definitely an extrovert. I mean, if I spend too much time by myself, I like start to have no energy. So I'm definitely an extrovert, but I think if people like to limit the definition of what that means.
Right. That makes sense.
What are you, Chris?
I am, introvert. You know, it's interesting. Wait, what would y'all say?
Introvert.
Yeah.
I think you're an introvert.
Yeah.
I think you're a very friendly introvert.
Right.
The friendly introvert. That's the new podcast. I am an introvert, but I can be extroverted at times. I actually asked my brother, who kind of knows me better than anyone, what he thought. He says, quote, "I would call you an introvert who can be extroverted in his element. Ultimately, though, you recharge in solitude, and I think you prefer one-on-one or small group meaningful conversations versus raucous crowds," which I think is very
true.
Yeah,
that seems accurate about you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're good at socializing, good at being around people, but
then don't worry, get the hell away.
Yeah, leave me alone. Wait, Hunter, you took our little mini test.
What? But I didn't need to take it. Yeah. I'm introvert all the way. And we grew up in a time when that was not cool at all, and there wasn't really a term for it. No one talked about it. So it was odd. I think I learned to be an extrovert in my element, the way Chris was talking about, just out of necessity, because growing up, you know, people think you're a snob if you don't talk to them and share everything immediately. So the rise of the introvert in the last couple of years has been exciting for me, just to be able to read about it and identify with it, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was kind of the point of the article, and then we're going to find out what Brandon is. Susan Cain wrote the 2012 book Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking, which I kind of love that title.
Read that one.
Yeah. And she really kind of helped define and spark a movement. She calls it kind of the Quiet Revolution, and has named a company after that. She gave the requisite TED Talk. You know, she's making a booming business out of it from the Quiet House in upstate New York. But I kind of became aware of it just from, like, you know, BuzzFeed, Huffington Post, when all those kind of quizzes started flying around the internet. And I loved some of them. I wrote down the title, you know, "Can You Survive This Party as an Introvert?" which I love. Or 26 Cat Reactions Every Introvert Will Understand.
You know what I think the internet...
There's always cats.
I think the internet has done this very strange thing to us, though, too. And this is why I'm like a little self-conscious that I would be an extrovert.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's now sort of villainized extroverts. Like, oh, you never stop talking. Oh, you talk to everyone. You just always overshare.
It's about time.
Yeah, but
we're sick of you guys sucking up all the oxygen in the room.
I feel like that's not fair. I don't know.
I think get past the BuzzFeed articles but the Susan Cain book, and also Sophia Dimbling is a local writer who wrote a book about introverts and writes a column about it. For Psychology
Introverts
Today.
Introverts in Love, I think.
Yeah, she has a couple of them.
Yeah,
but they both explain that they're not assigning value to either one. And it's just more about how to communicate with each other and live together.
The internet is about winners. The internet you guys are all winning right now.
What about you, Brandon? Where do you fall on the spectrum?
What is the term you used? Ambivert?
Ambivert?
Yeah, I'm like just straight down the middle.
Oh,
like, I get my energy. I need to be alone, and I also need to be in crowds. Like, it just kind of, I need a balance.
Right. You know, it's funny. Susan Cain, the author, quoted in the story, gave some advice to somebody that I thought was interesting. They had asked her for advice for their introverted college-bound daughter, and she had replied, "Take time to find your tribe, because it's a difficult world when the social currency is how gregarious you are." So do you think that's true? You kind of hinted at it, Lauren. It's like we sort of value people who are extroverted, who kind of seem exciting and make things happen.
I think it's like a fleeting, it's like a fleeting idea that you and your friendliness, because that's a shallow, the reality of it is I can make very shallow friendship. I know this about myself. I can make very shallow friendships very quickly.
Mm-hmm. We're getting real on the podcast.
Like,
you thought you were Lauren's friend, but guess what?
No, I don't mean it that way. I simply mean that I can, that an extrovert, I think one of the skills and I think it serves me well as a journalist, is to allow someone to have a friendly interaction with you a lot more quickly than an introvert can. But I think that this often lends, if everyone's your friend, then no one's your friend too, right? You don't have, you know, if you can talk to anyone and everyone, you really don't end up talking to anyone. And so you hang out in big groups, you're not having meaningful conversations. So I think that's totally a fair piece of advice, a good piece of advice, even for extroverts.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true. I have a friend and former colleague, Christina Geyer, and part of our gig in the style world is you have to go to lots of parties and lots of charity events, and they're all very high attitude. We always talk about, you know, what attitude level you need to be at to go to such and such event. And so we have learned and kind of adapted over the years to do kind of the Beyonce mode. So you know how like Beyonce becomes Sasha Fierce on stage?
Right.
So you just kind of have to go into that place. It's like you just have to Sasha Fierce it up and like walk in there and do your thing and then get the hell out and go recharge.
I would so hide in the bathroom.
I think my even being an extrovert, those things are overwhelming to me.
Well, there's a lot of them in Dallas. Well, we took the Cosmo Mag version of the Myers-Briggs personality quiz. And I'm curious, let's share the results of the type of personality we were and what celebrity best emulates.
That was the most important part.
Yes,
oh, exactly. I didn't even see that. Now I'm looking down on it.
You didn't go down far enough?
No, I apologize. That's right. Oh, I'm good with this. So, wait, that's not me.
What is this? Probably me.
Someone else go first. My web page is confusing me.
Hunter, who are you?
I am an idealist.
Oh.
My little caricature looks like a hippie.
Nice.
Which has made me very happy. INFP is the, I don't know what they stand for. Introvert is the first one. But
what are some of the traits of the idealist?
Let's see. They can be at first difficult to get to know, right?
Right.
They enjoy conversation, taking particular delight in the unusual. I like absurd humor, things like that, so that fits. When they're around their people, I'm just paraphrasing here, their humor and charm shine through. Very true.
Who's your celebrity, though?
My celebrity? John Lennon.
Nice.
Right? Oh. Kurt Cobain. I don't know about
that's interesting.
Vincent Van Gogh.
That's revealing.
I'm not going to cut off my ear anytime soon.
Don't. You couldn't listen anymore.
Right, I couldn't be I couldn't host listening.
Yeah.
Right.
Lauren, did you find yours?
Yeah, I found. So I was an ENFP, and that is the discoverer.
Oh.
And I'll just read this first sentence. An ENFP is an initiator of change, keenly perceptive of possibilities. They energize and stimulate others through their contagious enthusiasm. And then there's a lot of words in here like lively and et cetera, et cetera.
Who's a famous one?
The famous ones, and it was confusing to me because it has the wrong letters, but this is just a website that may or may not be taken seriously.
A very esteemed.
Yeah.
Is this better than Know Your Meme?
Yeah. I don't know. So mine are Ellen DeGeneres,
oh.
Walt Disney.
Interesting.
Jerry Seinfeld and Mark Twain.
Oh.
That's the one I was jealous of, Mark Twain.
Mark Twain.
Totally. And Will Rogers, I think, falls into your category. Who's also a hero.
Very special. Yeah. But, you know, I will also, I felt like I'm in the right profession because one of the recommended careers was journalist. So,
I
think you have to be a better listener than extroverts are purported to be a good journalist.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
but you kind of got to have some personality to bring other people out of their shell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In order to have something to listen to.
Yeah.
I think that helps. I think if you show up as an introvert, you don't really get a lot out of people.
Yeah, they're like,
you have to work
to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, I find it works for me.
Like if you're just quiet, they just fill the silence.
People want to tell you their story. It's like they're so hungry for a quiet place and person who's actually there and present and willing to listen. Actually, I find it people just, in fact, more often people later call me and tell me they've told me too much.
Well, and you're interviewing,
and they're kind of freaked out.
And this is something I experienced too. You interview a lot of artists, it seems like.
Right.
And I think a lot of artists, can connect to you as an introvert in a way that, like, we're having a different connection than they're having with you. if right. that makes sense, because they feel like akin to you.
And frankly, Lauren, the superior connection.
Shut up.
That's often why I wish that I could just contact the artist directly, because yeah. the publicist is not my
right.
animal, spirit no. animal. You know,
that's
all.
Not your tribe.
No like, offense
I,
to
it's
the publicist.
They're not in my tribe.
I don't think I want to know the person whose spirit animal
is
the publicist.
I want that tattoo. Publicist is not my spirit animal.
Oh. Well, Brandon, we mentioned personality earlier, and that's something you have no shortage of. So what was your
well,
Cosmo profile?
Both E and I you know, kind of looked at the discoverer and idealist.
So you're bi.
So I'm bi, yeah. and just kind of picked out, I mean, the two sentences, the one sentence from idealist, I think that really speaks to me is the part, you know, about devoted to their inner circle. INFPs guard the emotional well-being of others, consoling those in distress. And then the one that from the discoverer that totally spoke to me was they tend to idealize people and can be disappointed when reality yeah. fails to fulfill their expectations.
So true.
Story I'm feeling that.
Life.
Thanks for tromping my heart.
Yeah.
Mine INFJ was the counselor. They seek meaning in relationships, ideas, and events with an eye toward better understanding themselves and others. Isn't that very touchy-feely
like
and feel
that.
Good?
Very apropos to it.
Yeah.
Famous INFJs include Leonard Cohen, whom I love, so
it.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Love it.
Thomas Jefferson and Gandhi.
You got the best ones. Yeah. You're just, like, let's be honest.
But what a strange assortment of, like, what do you make of those
That would
three?
Be a good fantasy dinner
know.
Party.
Yeah.
Well, actually,
four of you.
I loved Hunter Hawk's joke earlier about John Lennon, Leonard Cohen, and Mark Twain walk into a
yeah.
bar.
Yeah. I have a strange feeling we're not living up to those people right now.
Oh. Speak for yourself, sweetheart.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the extrovert just Wait. Came out.
So, Brandon, what were your celebrities?
Did it you was like, with? It was, you know, kind of both of y'all's Ellen DeGeneres, Walt Disney, oh, okay. Jerry Seinfeld, okay. Mark Twain.
It's kind of a mashup.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
come to the bar with us. We'll all of our personalities will get together and talk. So, all right, well, we'll see. Listener, you're an introvert, extrovert. Let us know. Actually, send us an email, mixedmediapod@dallasnews.com. I'd be curious to hear what you think about it. You can read Laura Holson's piece on the quiet revolution of introverts on the New York Times website. We'll put a link to it on our show page. Now, excuse me while I go plan some quiet time. So let's move on to our touts, the portion of our show where each of us recommends one thing we are reading, watching, clicking on, listening to, eating, or just plain obsessed with. Let's start with the lovely Lauren Smart.
Okay. I ate at a new restaurant last week, I guess, called On Premise.
Oh.
It's in Deep Ellum. And I loved the food. The chicken wings are amazing. They're very good.
Chicken
they have very
wings,
good
I
drinks. But what I really, really liked about the restaurant was the decor. I mean, and I'm not even sure. It's like a trendy loft apartment in Soho. I mean, it's
but with chicken wings and good booze.
But with chicken wings and good booze. And you can take your own friends. I mean, I really enjoyed the restaurant. And it's only been around for a few weeks. So I would say check it out.
On Premise. I'm in. That sounds delicious. All right, Hunter Hawk.
Well, mine is the one TV show that is appointment viewing for me that is not The Real Housewives.
I mean,
because,
that's a given.
Well, New York is amazing this year, but that's not what my tout is. I wanted to talk about Hannibal. I just think it's such a beautifully done show. It was canceled by NBC because, of course, the best show on networks is canceled.
Right.
But this, particularly the performance of the guy who plays Hannibal, Mads Mikkelsen is his name. Mm-hmm. Very different than Anthony Hopkins, but it's totally worth it. And he will
much
be
much more elegant.
If you watch the three seasons of this show, he will be your Hannibal until the end of time. And then also Gillian Anderson is amazing.
And she's just gorgeous. I mean,
she
just
gets better.
More amazing with age.
And so there's going to be a lot of Gillian Anderson in the world because of The Fall is another Irish show that she's on Netflix. Also a great binge-watching experience, and she'll be in the X-Files reboot next year. So, yeah, get in on Hannibal now, you'll probably end up spending a whole weekend and then wondering where you are at the end.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. That's a cool show. All right, Mr. Brandon Formby.
I have to tout the ice cream sandwich at Carnival Barker's.
Oh. Yum.
This is not your typical ice cream sandwich. It is...
Describe, please.
Two Rice Krispie treats with homemade ice cream slapped in the middle and just smushed together. Oh. It's giant. It's awesome. It's sugary. I love it.
Did you please bring some? Out.
I did not bring any. I was going to, but I ate it on the way.
Oh.
All right, you're up, Chris.
Sorry, sorry.
Yeah.
I want to tout two things that came up during the show that aren't touted now. One, Hunter Hawk.
Oh, no. You're not really doing this.
I don't know if I can remember the correct phrase for it.
Let's
now.
Let's make Hunter say it.
Hunter, what is the correct one? I don't want to mispronounce
Truck nuts.
Truck nuts. You've seen them on the road. That's actually all I'm going to say. You've probably
You've rolled
seen
your
them.
Eyes at them on the road. You've wished that person driving the car wasn't on the same road as you.
Yeah.
Is that too extreme?
Yeah. So and
for why don't you tell us what they are, Chris?
I don't know if I can describe them.
I don't really know what their purpose is.
Are they male? Brandon, I'm sorry.
I don't know if they have a purpose.
Okay.
Male anatomy, was that the phrase that flew right. for the paper?
It's a yeah. truck that hasn't been neutered. Since we were talking about puppies.
Well, it would be like reverse neutering.
So Luke Bryan's truck?
Because they're added yeah. to it. Yeah. They're not natural on the truck.
No, really?
Add them
augmented.
To, yeah.
So that's kind of fun. And then we had a couple of accidental music mashups that Brian Elledge, our producer, did. And they were kind of amazing. We were into it. We had a Janet Jackson mixed up with Jamie XX.
Brian's going to have to go back and recreate these now.
Yeah. We've decided we're going to totally do a mixed media mashup music mix. And we'll post that later.
It's a lot of M's.
Yeah. My real tout, though, today was Operation Kindness in Carrollton, which is the no-kill shelter where I adopted my little Aww. Sweet Piper.
Aww.
It is the best run and happiest shelter I've been to, and everyone there is in good spirits, and it's just a good, happy place. So go adopt an animal.
They have cats, right?
I'm allergic to cats, but yeah.
Well, you didn't have to, like, yeah. set it
that's
up with
that. That's
a
whole other segment, cat person, dog person.
Well, that's Chris Wagner. I spent an hour at his apartment last week, and he has two cats. Let me tell you, it is not a cat allergy-friendly place.
Yeah.
So he can speak to that when he's back. All right. Let's wrap this sucker. Mixed media. You'll find links to some of the things we've talked about today on our show page at guidelive.com, the entertainment website of the Dallas Morning News. Drop us an email at mixedmedia@dallasnews.com or send us a tweet at mixedmediapod. You can thankfully now subscribe to our show in iTunes. So just search for our name, Mixed Media Culture Podcast. The show is engineered by Brian Elledge and produced by me. We'll be back next Thursday with a new episode. Until then, for the ailing Chris Wagner, get better soon, Chris. We miss you.
Come back.
And Lauren Smart, I am Christopher Wynn, and we thank you for joining us.